Did you turn our computer on? Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, you've forgotten to do that before.
I have never.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched The Big Lebowski.
We did.
Finally. We finally watched it.
We've only been talking about that for 3 years.
Yeah. It's from 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Solid R rating.
Yeah, there were some boobies.
Lots of boobies.
Lots of gutter humor.
Yeah.
That's our kind of stuff.
It's an hour and 57 minutes long. It felt much longer.
Oh, it did. It did.
Directed by Joel and Ethan Coen.
Yep. Written, produced, edited, the whole shebang-a-bang.
Yeah, they do everything.
Yep.
It got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is low. For as many people love this movie, I think that's a little on the low side.
Because, I mean, it's a good score. 80 is good, but...
Because everybody you talk to that's seen this movie loves this movie.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that's like, oh, the movie was just okay.
Yeah, no.
So. Hmm.
Interesting.
I finally found a Metascore.
Okay.
It's been a minute, but it got 71, which is pretty high. I think that's maybe one of the highest we've
for
seen.
For Metascore, yeah.
And 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, which I feel is right about where it should be.
Yep, I think so. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I got a budget of about $15 million.
I did think I saw that, yes.
And a worldwide gross of a little over $48
million. I saw that too, and I thought that was kind of low.
It is a little low.
Is this after home video?
No.
98. That would have been right in there, wouldn't it?
This is like baby DVD.
Yeah. Interesting. I thought that was kind of low.
Yeah. It does feel a little low.
Yes.
But for a Coen Brothers movie, I think it was pretty good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, dollar-wise?
Yeah, because, you know, what I've read, I don't think these guys are in it for the big money.
No.
I think they're in it for the way they want to do things.
The art of it.
Yes. I do believe that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The plot is Jeffrey, the dude, Lebowski, mistaken for a millionaire of the same name, seeks restitution for his ruined rug and enlists his bowling buddies to help get it. Now, that really kind of doesn't encompass the whole movie.
Mm-mm. That is not the whole movie.
He's really kind of drawn into a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think he enlists his buddies to get his rug back. I think the whole story is the whole thing with Jeffrey Lebowski.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That rug was just a
red herring.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I even wrote meh next to it.
Okay.
Because that was the plot that was listed on IMDb, and I was just like, well, I mean.
That happened. That did happen. But that was not the reason for this movie. No, that wasn't this movie.
He gets roped into a whole,
yes.
A whole thing.
Yes, he went to Jeffrey Lebowski on his own.
He went because that rug was soiled. He went for restitution for that rug.
Right.
And then he got drawn into a kidnapping.
And then
ransom? And then
his bowling buddies got drawn into it.
Yeah.
That's when they got drawn in. Not about the rug. He took care of that rug himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Too bad he didn't make that $200 million plus.
Right.
No, $200,000. What am I saying?
Yeah. You know, whatever.
Right.
When we're talking about that many zeros, does it matter?
No, I don't. Because I've never had that many zeros. Personally, to me, no. Happy to have 1 0 after a 1.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I've got a 10 in my purse. Yeah, I'm rich.
The cast is Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, David Huddleston, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tara Reid, Peter Stormare, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Turturro, and Dami Rera. Those are the main people that you can recognize.
Yep.
Dami Rera was the limo driver that was like, oh, your friend in the VW. And he's just like, huh?
Oh, okay. That was a funny little twist at the end, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I did not see that part coming.
Uh-uh.
Not at all. Okay.
What do you want to do first? I got a little bit of trivia.
Well, we'll do the trivia after we talk about the Coen brothers. Because when we did Raising Arizona, we were not doing, I was not doing director stuff like we have started to do. When did we start directing stuff?
When, oh, boy, I don't remember.
When we discovered that, you know, we needed to talk about more stuff than just the movie.
They're just giving away the plot of the movie.
Right. Well, I found the Coen brothers quite interesting. They both well-educated. They have associate's degrees. And then they both went on to, Joel got a BFA from New York University. And Ethan got a BA from Princeton.
Oh, okay.
So both well-educated. They use many names. I like that. Roderick Janes. Janice, I think is what it is.
Okay.
J-A-Y-N-E-S. Reginald Janice and Mike Zoss. They use all those names. So if you see any of those names in these movies, it's those guys.
Oh.
They use all those names. And it was also edited by Tricia Cook. It said in the stuff I read about, it said the movie was edited by Roderick Janice and Tricia Cook, who happens to be Ethan's wife.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole family business, I guess.
Yeah.
They usually write, direct, and do everything together. But in the early days, when they first started, the Directors Guild of America restricted the name of a director as one person.
Oh.
So that's why Joel is not Joel. Yes, Joel. Joel is often cited as the director.
As the singular director.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. And that's their rules and requirements, that there just be one director and one producer. Then in 2004, the Directors Guild changed their thinking and allowed anyone to be credited together and also appear. And they also appear often under their assumed names.
Oh, okay.
And I would think that would be some kind of business thing.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
Well, you know, whatever. They've been nominated for 13 Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And each of them have been separately nominated for an award. In 2020, they started directing apart, not as a team.
Oh, okay.
And they each did a few films, which for some reason I don't have anything written down.
Oh, okay.
They also write, and they also do write and help other directors with their movies. I did read that. 1998, the American Film Institute ranked Fargo as among the top 100 greatest movies.
Okay.
The boys were born in the 50s and grew up in Minnesota. Their mom was an art historian at St. Cloud University. And their father was a professor of economics.
Ooh, wow.
At the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
They also have an older sister. Couldn't find anything about her, so I'm assuming she's not in the entertainment business.
Okay.
both sides of the Cohen family are Ashkenazi Jews.
Ashkenazi.
Okay. I knew it was not what I was thinking in my head. The word was wrong. And what those are is
they're the Eastern European
exactly
types.
Exactly. The Roman Empire moved up. They moved up into the Roman Empire and went into Northern Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the olive skin, dark hair.
Right. They don't look like the Jews on the street or what you think a Jew looks like.
Right.
So, yeah.
They look like pasty white people like us.
Yes. Yes, we are pasty white people. The boys grew up watching TV. And they've seen, you know, they were influenced by Fellini all the way through the Tarzan movies and the comedies. Wow. In the 60s, the boy, Joel, mowed lawns so that he could save up money to buy a Super 8 camera.
Oh, wow.
Which don't so many of these famous directors that we talk about save up to have a Super 8 movie to begin their careers.
Yep.
They were making movies, remakes of movies that they saw on TV with their friend, and that's how they started their career.
Oh, how fun.
Yep. Let's see, in the 80s, after graduating New York University, Joel was a production assistant on industrial films. Remember, we just talked about industrial films. And he developed a knack for editing at that time. And then that's about the time he met Sam Raimi while assisting the editor of Raimi's film, The Evil Dead.
No shit.
Yep. Yep. That is the beginning of a huge collab.
Wow.
Yep. 84, the duo made their first film, Blood Simple. I don't know anything about it.
I've heard of it, but yeah. I've never seen it.
Yep.
I think it's dramatic.
Yes, this is where you get the glimpses of their future. Joel's directing was recognized by Sundance and Independent Spirit Awards.
Oh, okay.
Which those are both pretty prestigious.
Yeah.
For a brand new guy. You know.
Yeah.
So good for them. And this is also their beginning the beginning of their friendship with Barry Sonnenfeld.
Okay.
The Coens, and he and the Coens worked together on the next two films. And it also marked the first collab with composer, here's a little bit about the music, Carter Burwell.
Okay.
And Carter Burwell, I should have done more information about him. He sounds very interesting. Harvard grad, and he has worked with many notable directors. So, this is getting into their first movie, and Frances McDormand was the female star. This is the movie Fargo. No, it wouldn't have been Fargo. Oh my goodness!
You said their first movie was Blood Simple.
Blood Simple, yeah. And we've moved up from that. When did I say Blood Simple was?
In the 80s?
1980-something. Oh, 84. Okay, and then their next movie, when they moved into their next movie, which would have been Fargo, is where they met all of these other people that have colored their experience.
Okay.
And where Joel met his wife.
Yeah.
They have one child,
okay.
An adopted child.
Um,
The other guy.
Ethan?
Yeah, his wife. What did I say her name was?
Trisha Cook?
Yes. They have two children.
Okay.
We'll leave a boy and a girl. There was nothing about the children, so I figured they don't want anything.
Yeah.
You know, they're keeping their children out of that.
A lot of people do that.
But their children have got to be, you know, older now. If they were born in the 80s, 90s, you know, they've got to be adults by now. But anyway, doesn't really matter. Where was I? The brothers wanted their second film to be something different. And then this came out, right? Raising Arizona came out.
Okay. Yeah, Raising around Arizona that time. Came out way
1987.
Before Fargo. Yeah.
Isn't that funny? So
Fargo was in the mid-90s.
I think I have my notes really mixed up.
I think you do too.
So at debut of Frances McDormand, who later then married Joel. Okay, so she was in that Blood Simple in 1984.
I feel like that is true.
Yes. That's... I just said it completely all wrong. But anyway, it's kind of right.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Blood Simple.
Sure.
Debut of Frances McDormand. Dormand. What?
Yeah. Sure.
So in 87, Raising Arizona came out.
Yeah.
Which we did 3 years ago.
Our first movie, yeah.
Yep. Yep, we did that 3 years ago. But we didn't even talk about it. And I went back and I listened to it and I thought, oh my gosh. We were ridiculous.
Our recording sucked.
It did. There was all kinds of extra sounds there. You know, it was wild. But how far have we come in 3 short years?
Yeah.
You know, but it was fun to listen back to it and think that, oh my God, we sound so much alike. That yeah. is crazy. The boys, the Coen brothers, and Alexis and Mom come a long way.
Yeah, sure. Some farther than others.
Yeah. Yeah. They got that extra zero after their one.
Their extra few zeros.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Make us sound bad.
Just keeping it real.
Pardon me. Then they've just gone on to make more and more and more. Yes, I have it here. Fargo, 1996.
Yeah.
Hudsucker Proxy. We talked about that in our first Raising Arizona movie.
Did we?
Yeah, and how they had wanted that to be their next movie, but it turned out it was 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
So, and they're still going strong.
Yeah.
They have a production company.
Sure.
Mike Zoss Productions.
Okay.
The Coen Brothers. Mike Zoss was the drugstore that the boys hung out in when they were little kids.
Oh, okay.
Young kids. It was Mike Zoss Drugs. And that's where they, you know, hung out. And they thought that they decided that that's what they were going to name their production company. I thought that was cute.
Sure.
So what now? What do you have?
Well, I got a little bit of trivia.
Okay.
John Goodman has said that this is his favorite movie that he's appeared in.
Okay.
Which I can see why. Because he plays a psychopath.
He does?
The dude says man 147 times in the movie. Nearly 1.5 times a minute.
Oh, man.
And speaking of the dude, a lot of his clothing in the movie were Jeff Bridges' personal wardrobe. Including the jelly sandals that he still owns and wears.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Uh-uh.
So when he came to work that day, that was just what he had on?
Probably. They probably just said, let's just bring your closet.
He didn't have a closet. He had like four outfits.
Just bring it. You notice that you never see him actually bowling?
No, he was sitting in the chair.
Uh-huh.
He was sitting in the score seat the whole time.
Yeah.
He never got up to bowl.
Uh-uh.
He's not a bowler?
I don't know. And you saw that the last time you see Donnie bowling, he did not get a strike.
He did not. He didn't spin that ball enough, and it did not come back.
Yeah.
And pick up that lone pin.
Right.
Yep.
The F word or variations of the F word were used 292 times.
Fuck. I heard it.
In an early draft of the script, the dude's source of income was revealed. He was supposed to be an heir to the inventor of the Rubik's Cube. Which would have also made him Hungarian. And Joel Cohen decided to drop this and never say how he made his money.
He's unemployed.
Yeah. But how did he keep that apartment? How did he keep that car running?
Well, his rent was late.
Who paid for that vodka?
His rent was... Yeah, there's always money for vodka and weed. No, remember right at the beginning, the landlord was there and it's the 10th. Slip your rent under the door.
Well, I think that also was kind of to prove that he has no concept of time and space.
Right. Right.
The dude tells Maud that he was a roadie for Metallica on their Speed of Sound tour.
Yes.
Which was not a real Metallica tour. And okay. Refers to the band members as a bunch of assholes.
Yes.
Metallica, in turn, was flattered.
Okay.
Kirk Hammett, the guitar player, noted that they tried to figure out how to incorporate that scene into their live shows. A bunch of assholes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
that's funny.
They do seem like insufferable rich people.
Metallica?
Yeah, they've been rich a long time.
Well, yes, they have. They've been a band a long time.
Yeah. And they quit drinking, so I'm sure they're just insufferable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know reformed people. They're no good.
Mm-hmm. T-Bone Burnett acted as a music consultant. I think he was listed as the music archivist.
Okay.
And help establish the dude's taste in music. He was the one to suggest that the dude hates the Eagles because T-Bone Burnett is not a fan of the Eagles.
Oh no. Okay.
Glenn Frey of the Eagles was furious and confronted Jeff Bridges at a party.
God.
Like, how dare you?
Dude, it was a movie. It was a part.
It's lines on a page. Shut up. Go away.
Somebody wrote that. I said it.
Yeah. Go talk to them.
Oh my God. You're kidding.
Talk about thinking too high yourself.
Oh my. Yeah.
Where did I write that down? There was another use of a song based on the Eagles thing. Oh, Alan Klein wanted $150,000 for the use of Dead Flowers by the Rolling Stones, the song that plays over the end credits.
Yeah. $150,000?
Hey.
Well, that's the price, isn't it?
Yep. But he waived the fee altogether because he was so delighted when the dude talks about hating the Eagles.
Funny. Oh my goodness.
Donnie is wearing embroidered bowling shirts the whole time.
Yes.
None of them say his name.
They just said there was a name on there.
One of them had a name and it was not Donnie.
No, no.
And most of them were just initials that were not his initials.
No. Interesting.
John Goodman is only seen taking his glasses off at one time. And that was when they were in the funeral home. and he's reading the bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he had those yellow sunglasses on.
Yeah. Oh, is that all I wrote?
Were both of us kind of slacking this week?
Oh, my God, that's all I wrote. I had a whole nother page.
I don't know. I don't know. This was just a tough week for me. Just a personally tough week. Nothing happened at all. But I just couldn't get myself in gear.
Well, I feel like there were a lot of like paragraph stuff too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, this was a very wordy study. When I was reading stuff, there was a lot, and then I'd look up something else. This is like, you know, you start reading the phone book and to look up your own name, and then you look up your neighbor's name, and then you think about somebody else you know, and you look up their name.
And then when you're looking for stuff, you find a goofy name, and you gotta laugh about that for a while.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's how this whole week went with my studying. You know, it was like the squirrel kept running by, and I would look over at the squirrel, you know?
Right.
This is just that kind of a week for me.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm sorry.
To the IMDb trivia page, the screenplay was written with John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, and Sam Elliott in mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Exactly understand why Sam Elliott was there?
I think he was there to be the narrator.
Oh, okay.
Because that's who was doing the narration?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew that right away. But it was just odd to me when he showed up, and I don't know, it was just odd to me. You know, and like I said, I had just seen those reels on Facebook about him and those people at a restaurant videotaping a guy that was sitting at a counter eating, and they said, is that him? Is that really him? No, it wasn't him. The man you were videotaping was younger and heavier, but he looked just like him. Just like him. You know, I think of him as very tall and very thin. So
the coffee shop that they're in is called Johnny's Coffee Shop, and it's been closed forever. But they only use it for filming. Scenes of American History X were also shot there.
Cool.
Oh. I think my pages are just stuck together because I did write that down.
Or did you write on it? Did you flip two pages and write stuff?
I don't. I think I'm just on crack.
Well, you know, I understand that. Like I said, this has been a tough week for me, focus-wise, so. It could very well could be.
No. I only wrote two pages.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. On drugs. There is a religious movement based on the dude called the Church of the Latter-day Dude.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, it's better than Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Bridges, in his second career as a musician, sometimes tours with a backing band called the Abiders.
Okay.
Because the dude abides.
Oh my goodness.
Let me see what else is here.
White Russians saw a surge of popularity in 1998 at the release of this movie.
There was a point in time where I tried to get into White Russians.
I just have never been a fan of vodka.
I'm not a fan of vodka. I'm not. I also don't like Kahlua.
No, no.
Alcoholic coffee? Gross.
No. Yeah. And back in the 70s, when I was really drinking, there was all kinds of recipes to make that homebrew.
Yeah.
And I just never got into it. But I'm not a huge fan of alcoholic drinks with milk in it, other than a Brandy Alexander. And I don't consider a big scoop of ice cream milk.
Jimmy Dale Gilmore, the guy who played Smokey, admits he's been asked over 100 times whether he stepped over the line or not. Gilmore says that the answer is a secret that he'll take to his grave. Remember when Walter pulls the gun? Smokey, you were over the line. Mark it zero. Mark it zero.
Yes.
And he's telling him he's going to enter a world of pain.
I didn't think that that was a real gun. I thought he was going to light his cigarette with that after.
No, he ejects a...
He did. I saw that. After I was thinking that he's going to light his cigarette with that any minute, he cocked that gun. I thought, oh, that is a real gun. Oh, there's a Wikipedia page about white Russians. Let's look at it.
Oh, God.
Why does he call it a Caucasian? Because he puts so much milk in it?
Okay, sure.
Does that sound reasonable? Oh, you know what? Here it is. Does it say your Wi-Fi is interfering with my no Wi-Fi?
Oh. I actually have Wi-Fi today?
No, apparently not, because I'm not getting anything, and it's not, it keeps telling me, you need to turn on your Wi-Fi.
Oh, that says I have Wi-Fi. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers plays a character that was in a band called Autobahn, which is a jab at the German band Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk had a single called Autobahn.
Okay.
The two bands played venues together in the 80s. Could you imagine a Red Hot Chili Peppers Kraftwerk double feature? Jesus Christ.
Oh my goodness.
Did you see that the first guys that break in? No. The guys with the marmot. The ferret.
Yes, those three guys.
Yeah, that guy had a cricket bat. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Yeah.
Because I watch a lot of British TV, so I knew exactly what that thing was.
Yeah.
And I wondered, why does he have that? But, you know.
They're not American. That's why they don't have it.
But
I think that was just to show that they're not American.
Oh. Okay.
Charlize Theron was considered for the role of Bunny Lebowski.
Oh, no, that wouldn't have been right at all.
20-year-old Charlize Theron? Coulda.
Okay. I think she has too serious a face. Okay, here we go. Traditionally, the cocktail was called the Black Russian, and it first appeared in 1949.
Ooh, okay.
Later named White Russian after the addition of cream. That does not have any Russian ties.
Okay.
Other than the fact that it's made with vodka.
Okay.
The dictionary calls it a cocktail. Okay.
Well, yeah, it would be a cocktail.
It would be. 1 ounce of Southern... One each Southern vodka and cream. What is Southern?
Oh,
coffee. It was a short-lived brand of liqueur called Southern. So that was before Kahlua.
Ew.
Yeah. Interesting.
Gross.
Yeah, well, you know, we made our own white Russians, and I think that they are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I introduced Alexis to the cold brew cold foam at Tim Hortons today.
It was delicious.
And I think it looks just like a white Russian.
It does.
So.
It tastes much better.
And we have beautiful rocks glasses that Justin's mom, Joy, gave me last Christmas. Christmas before.
So.
They're beautiful, and I've never had a use for them. And we were talking about this, and I thought, I've got those gorgeous glasses, and they are really pretty glasses.
Yeah,
I'll take a picture of them and put it on Facebook.
Yeah. We had nachos as our theme, but I didn't see any nachos being eaten in the movie.
You know what? The only thing it said in all the stuff I read that they ate hamburgers. They did. They In-N-Out burgers.
The In-N-Out burgers.
Nachos. They had other things, bar food type stuff. I only saw them eating those two hamburgers and the peanuts or something, popcorn from the basket on the bar.
Right.
That's the only food I saw them eating.
Yeah. So
where did this whole list of food come from?
No idea. But the nachos were amazing.
They were. We made our own. It was, you know, we made self-serve nachos.
Yeah.
And I had green olives and tomato and beans and meat. And Lex had beans and meat. You didn't put olives on yours, did you?
No.
You're not an olive person.
No.
But mine were delicious. I ate my whole tray full.
Yeah, me too.
And I am stuffed. Lex also made us cookies that we haven't eaten yet.
We haven't eaten those yet.
Can I take my cookie home?
Yeah.
So I am really still full.
Okay. I pointed out the woman sitting with the nihilists missing the toe. That was musician Amy Mann. She's married to Michael Penn, who is Sean Penn's brother. Michael Penn had a hit in the 80s called No Myth.
Yeah.
That's a great song. And Amy Mann, with her band Till Tuesday, had a hit in the 80s called Voices Carry. You know that song.
Yes. Yes, I do. I kind of recognize the name.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I did know that.
Amy Mann also did a lot of work with Portlandia, the Fred Armisen show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought it was pretty funny when they panned down her leg and there was all that gauze. Oh, there's where the toe came from.
The whole front of that cowboy boot was gone.
Was that a cowboy boot?
Yeah, it was a cowboy boot. Like the whole toe was removed.
Yes, that was. Oh my goodness, that was funny.
A dude drinks 9 white Russians during the course of the movie.
Is that all?
Only 9.
He spilled most of them.
There's a beverage here.
That was pretty funny. Oh my goodness, here's the thing. Why is Lebowski called the dude? I think he was just, because he named himself that.
Yeah, I think that's just what he called
himself. Yeah, he just called himself that, yeah. Oh, no. It says, the dude is partly based on a real person named Jeff Dowd. The Coen brothers met Jeff while working on promotional material for their first film, Blood Simple.
Oh, okay. Dowd, dude.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
The bowling alley scenes were filmed at the former Holly Star Lanes near Santa Monica and 101 freeway ramp. The bowling alley has since been torn down and a new elementary school stands in its place.
Oh my goodness. Is it called the Dude School?
No.
That's too bad.
John Goodman once did a commercial for In-N-Out Burger.
No, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. He refers to that bathtub scene as the marmot. That's funny.
Yeah.
But that animal was a ferret.
I just thought both of the animals in the film are incorrectly named. The nihilist marmot was actually a ferret, and Cynthia's Pomeranian was a terrier.
Oh my goodness, that's funny.
The gun that Walter pulls out in the bowling alley is a Colt Model 1911 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun, which was standard for U.S. military sidearm during Vietnam.
Okay.
So that's exactly why he'd have a gun like that.
Yes, he brought that home with him from the war.
I love how everything related back to Vietnam. Nothing had anything to do with Vietnam in this movie, but everything went back to Vietnam.
Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, here's a little continuity. The check that dude writes in the beginning of the movie for 69 cents is post-dated. He clearly writes the date as 9/11/91. And when he speaks to his landlord later in the movie, the landlord reminds him that tomorrow is the 10th.
Yes.
So he wrote a post-dated check at the grocery store for 69 cents.
Okay.
The phone that he's carrying like a purse is a Fujitsu Commander phone.
That was an early phone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Cynthia's dog's name was Thurston, according to a plaque on the dog carrier.
Thurston?
Yeah.
Well, they said it was a show dog. But when did that dog get in the car? Because he had it later on. What did that dog was running around the parking lot. I was sure they were going to drive over it. Yeah. I was certain they were going to smack that dog flat.
No, it's got papers.
That was so funny. They came out of there, him carrying that carrier and the little dog running all around barking. Nobody even noticed. Nobody noticed.
This film is included in Roger Ebert's greatest movies list.
Oh my goodness. Now, okay. That sounds fun. Now I'm getting into stuff. What does the rug represent? What's an allegory for this movie? I mean, holy cow.
Oh, we could dissect this if we wanted to. I don't think it's that deep. I think it's just
a movie.
Burnout just gets mixed up in a whole thing.
Right. In the wrong place, at the wrong time, on the wrong day.
Right.
And it just spirals out of control from there.
Singer-songwriter Phoebe Bridgers named her 2017 debut album Stranger in the Alps after an excerpt from the TV edit of Walter's car-smashing tirade. When in the movie, he's yelling, "This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass."
Right.
The TV edit.
Over and over and over again, he said that.
The TV edit says, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps."
Oh my God, okay. Okay.
Now, we've talked about this before, the book 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die. This is included.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How fun. Here's a question. What makes The Big Lebowski great? I think it's funny. It's timeless funny.
And I think that at some point in everybody's life, they've been the dude, just kind of flailing through.
And we all have that friend who's always getting us in trouble.
Yeah.
And we also have that friend who's just always a step behind.
Right.
It's a timeless, funny movie.
Yeah.
This says quirky humor and dialogue. Well, yes. That's what makes a movie, quirky humor and dialogue. That was deep. I enjoyed the movie. I'm surprised that I liked the movie so much. This is a movie I would probably watch again even.
Yeah?
I think it would be.
Okay.
To see all that stuff that I think I missed.
Okay.
You know, when he was in that bathtub with all those candles around there and that little bottle of Mr. Bubble behind him, I thought, do men do that?
I don't think so.
But I thought, I need to watch what came up to that. I don't remember. Did something happen and that's why he needed a bubble bath when he got home? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
But it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Good.
And we did do a TikTok, y'all. So look for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of pathetic, just like us.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. It's got 256 views so far.
Holy cow!
Thank you, everybody who's watched it.
Yes! Oh my goodness. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, we found bathrobes. We found goofy pants to wear.
Yes.
And just regular old tops with goofy pants.
She has a V-neck on. He mostly wore V-necks. I thought he wore like a wife beater one time in one of the pictures I saw. But I think it was just a regular t-shirt.
Yeah.
So.
With the neck stretched out.
I messed up with my little tank top.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But this attractive bathrobe that doesn't go around me, I found at the Nine Lives thrift shop.
Nice.
So, you know, head over to the Nine Lives. They had a lot of stuff in there today, the day I went in.
Really?
I've been in the Nine Lives when they did. I love thrift shops. And I only went to Nine Lives because I went to the Humane Society one. And they don't open until 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was already out at 10. And I wasn't hanging around there.
Yeah, there's really nothing to do right there.
No, nothing. Go to McDonald's, but heck, you come out of there poisoned. So I don't go to McDonald's anymore.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
But they had a set of beautiful lamps in there. And I thought, oh, I need these lamps. But I, of course, walked out without them.
Yeah.
Everything you see in a thrift shop is what you need.
Right.
So. So I walked out. So. But yeah. People go to the Nine Lives thrift shop.
Yeah.
I like it there. But yeah, everything else was closed. I'm thinking, come on.
And the Goodwills that we went to were pretty short on men's clothing just in general.
Yes. And I went to two other Goodwills. After we went to those two?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Really?
Very, very slim pickings.
Huh.
Very slim. But, you know, I understand that's often the case because, you know, men apparently wear their clothes until they fall off. I don't know.
I don't know. Speaking of Goodwill, I got rid of those bags, you see.
Yeah. Yay!
6 garbage bags full of clothing.
Wow. Wow. Do you have anything left?
Surprisingly, yes.
I know, isn't that funny when we get rid of stuff out of our closets? And why aren't I standing here naked?
Right. Right.
You know? And why did I have 6 bags of extra clothes?
Well, a lot of them were from a different life when I was much smaller that I will never, ever, ever see again.
Oh. Yeah, I did get rid of a bunch of clothes from a different time for me, too, recently. Yeah, it was at that senior center yard sale.
Yeah.
Got rid of tons of clothes then.
Yeah.
And I had gotten rid of tons of clothes when I moved.
Great.
So, I still have clothes, like these pants I'm wearing today. I'm surprised they went all the way up to my waist.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too. These are just the regular size.
Yes. Yes. And I can't believe they went, even, first off, they went on.
Right.
And then they went up to my waist.
I was shocked.
Amazing.
Because I had another like loud pair, but they kind of went with the shirt too much.
Oh, okay.
I just want to go a matchy matchy.
Okay. Well, when we got a really good picture of that shirt, that like the same color you're wearing,
yeah,
his pants kind of did match.
Yeah, I guess.
But we didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I didn't want to go matchy matchy.
No, we're happy going our own way.
Yeah.
This is our own impression of the dude.
Yeah.
Me in this plaid. He didn't wear a plaid bathrobe. He just wore a plain, looked like a terry bathrobe.
Yeah.
I have on a plaid bathrobe. We'll have to have pictures. We'll put pictures on the internet of how ridiculous we
look. We look absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but we have fun. We have fun.
Yeah, when that guy was on my porch delivering my Amazon stuff, I had wanted to go say, because he heard me talking to the cats. So I wanted to, you know, just go grab it, but I didn't want him to see how ridiculous I looked. So I just kind of waited until he left.
And I drove through the drive-thru in this getup. So at Tim Hortons, they don't care.
They can't see that far into your car.
I can see your top, the top of you.
Well, the top of you doesn't look that.
It looks like I have a little plaid cotton bathrobe on, for Christ's sake.
Maybe they just thought you were out on a day pass.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. That's me out on a day pass. Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's funny. That's funny. That's funny.
Did you write down any deaths this week?
I do. You let me take my glasses off.
I know one of the big ones for me was Tony Todd.
Yes.
I'm sick about that.
At just age 69.
Yeah. God, he was.
That's.
He seemed to be like a decent human being on top of being like a well-rounded actor.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised. They showed pictures of him having interviews recently.
Yeah.
He didn't look well.
Oh. Well, it said natural causes.
I wondered if he had some kind of a, you know, an illness that had been working on him for a bit.
Damn it. I was sad. I was very sad.
Yeah.
We'll never have a man as scary as him again.
Nope. Quincy Jones, 91.
Oh, my God.
That's huge for the music industry. I've mentioned that name to a couple of people in passing, and they said, I don't know who that. I said, have you ever heard of Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard We Are the World?
Yeah.
That is, you know, he worked with every big star that everybody knows.
Yeah. Without Quincy Jones, we wouldn't have the music that we know and
no,
love.
It would not be. He was one of those first innovators that got music the way we know it started.
Yeah.
Well, that's my opinion. A lot of people won't say that.
No, you're 1,000% right.
He started out as a jazz musician.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, that's the beginning of that. Jonathan Hayes from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
95 years old also.
Wow.
That's crazy. Prince, you told me this. Prince's sister, Taika Nelson.
Yeah.
I didn't write down her age, sorry. But she can't be very old.
She was in her 60s.
Yeah, because Prince wasn't very old, and she's just a couple of years older than him, so.
Yeah, his only full sibling.
Yes. I also said Bobby Allison of NASCAR fame, dead at 85.
Okay.
You didn't know who he was.
No.
When we were younger, NASCAR was on TV as a regular thing. Not that my mom and dad were fans of NASCAR, but that was a regular sports program that was on. And, you know, people my age know those names.
Okay.
Elwood Edwards.
The voice of You've Got Mail.
Yeah. Yep. And as I, you know, last week I didn't, or last time we talked, I usually wait until like the day before or so to look through who has died in the last couple of weeks. And last week, last time I did not do that. And I discovered that Jack Jones also died in October at the age of 86. And again, you're probably saying Jack Jones.
Yeah, who's that?
He is a big singer. Have you ever seen the show Love Boat?
Oh.
The Love Boat. You know, that he wrote and sang that song.
No shit. Okay.
So wow. Everybody knows him too, without knowing who he was. So, yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
That's what I got. There were other big names in jazz that died this last week, but You know, I'm not really into jazz, and to be perfectly honest, I don't like jazz.
I hate it.
And smooth jazz, I like even less than jazz.
Oh.
So they were just big. They were big names. There again, jazz also influenced the music we listen to today.
I mean, I guess
it did. You know, we have to recognize that. Even though I don't. You know, I think jazz is kind of like classical music. It just grates on me.
I'd listen to classical before I listen to jazz.
I'd rather not listen to either.
I'd listen to nothing before I listen to jazz.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a fan of jazz. And all those years you kids played the music at school, all that jazz music I listened to.
I hated playing it.
That was not the reason you were playing it. You were playing that to learn how to be a well-rounded human being. And look at you now, a well-rounded human being.
Okay.
You are.
Sure.
And we are aware. We are aware of stuff. And we can say we don't like jazz because we have listened.
Yeah, I really hate Herbie Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's probably my favorite hater. But anyway.
Another thing we did this week, is talking about Walter being a veteran.
Yes.
There was a Veterans Day thing at the high school that we both attended.
Yes.
For alumni veterans.
Yes.
And we had signed my Uncle Dave, Mom's brother Dave, up as an honoree.
Yes. And our friend David Roush also. We added him because I'm not sure he has any family left here in Toledo.
Yeah. And it was a lovely little ceremony.
Yes. We apparently were the guests of honor.
Yeah.
That's because we were the only guests. But
basically,
you know what? I've been spreading the word. You put it on your school, your class's Facebook page. I put it on my class's Facebook page, and I got a lot of response.
Yeah, I didn't get very many. I just got a few likes.
Okay. I got a number and some questions. You know, if you hear this for some reason, Dave Roush, get in contact with people. They wanna hear from you. I heard from Leanne, who was a friend. She was kind of on the fringes of our group, more with the boys than me. But where's Dave? Do you have a phone? Can I give him a call? I'm thinking, you didn't call him. I don't know the phone number it was called at. But so, you know, if you're out there, Dave, and you hear this, give us a call.
Yeah.
We're looking for you. I'm sure he's still living his life in Texas.
Oh.
Which he has lived in Texas since he got out of the Army.
So hot there.
I think so.
Ooh.
Plus, you know, the rain. They get the rain there so often.
Yeah. All that hurricane cast off stuff.
Yeah. But I thought that was I did not know my high school did that for its veterans. And I thought that was a very nice thing to do.
Absolutely. And there were three little plaques that were full.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, obviously somebody's heard about this.
Right.
It's
quiet, but it shouldn't be.
No. And they had some stories from some of the men killed in action.
Yes.
In that little hallway space.
Yep.
And that was nice.
And during the pandemic, some of the art students came in and made a mural in the hallway that they have dubbed the Veterans Hallway, which was pretty cool.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
And they introduced some of the staff that was veterans.
Yeah.
And there was a person there that got pinned to stand up and talk that didn't want to. But
yeah.
I felt a little bad that lady didn't say, well, okay, appreciate you coming today. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
You know, let the poor man sit down. He did not want to talk. So, but it was lovely. There was a flag ceremony, and Alexis learned something about Adams County, Ohio.
Yeah, who knew?
That we live there. I thought it was lovely. We talked to a full bird colonel.
Yeah, that was interesting.
He was a nice man. He was nice to talk to.
His wife kept calling him by his first name. I'm like, you call him colonel?
Yeah, you called him sir. I know, I thought that was funny. But you noticed his shoes. I had noticed his shoes also.
Oh my God, his shoes were mirrors.
They looked like mirrors, yeah. Yeah. And his uniform, he looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, he did.
He was pleasant also.
Oh, real nice man.
Yep.
Very happy to be there.
Yes. So that was a wonderful thing, wasn't it, for Memorial Day?
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day. I have been calling it Memorial Day for this whole time, haven't I?
I think so.
Oh, my good heavensness. Veterans Day.
It's Veterans Day.
Ay, ay, ay. I am losing my damn mind.
That's all right.
Yeah. I guess that's what makes them cute.
Sure.
And I told Alexis that she needed to call Justin's school and see if they have a veterans wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, we should recognize the people that keep us free.
Yeah.
You know, because freedom is not free.
No.
Period.
Uh-uh.
But they had the choir sang the Star Spangled Banner.
And they did a great job.
Oh, it was lovely.
Know,
it was very
nice.
Who knew
that 9 high school kids could sing better than paid, you know, celebrity singers?
Yeah, celebrity singer. Right. Go figure. And that young man had what do they call those when they do those speaking things? I know it has a name. He had a
personal story to a little relation to the whole subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that called?
Oh my gosh. If you know what it is, let us know.
Yeah.
But he had written done a little talk.
Is that like a little testimonial?
Yes, it was a testimonial, but that has a specific name in the high school. Kids go to class. It's like when you go, you know, and you learn debate and stuff like that. It's like that. You learn how to write something that says something. I'll think of it when I'm driving home. But that was nice. He did a nice job on that.
I didn't learn anything in high school.
Well, neither did I. Except how to get out a different door than your bully. I mean, other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, always know where your bully is so you can exit left or something.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can't say I learned anything in high school. But, you know.
But the new Bowser was lovely. Oh, I've never been inside.
Yeah. It was really, really nice.
Yeah.
I had been in there to vote a couple of times, just in through the doors. You know, you saw where we had to go almost through the entire school to get to where we were going. But it's beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah. It sounded just like a school. There were people in the gym squeaking their shoes, playing basketball, it sounded like.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was weird, wasn't it, to go into...
To go in school during school? Like, I felt like I shouldn't have been there.
Right. Right, and we were standing in the office, and there were, you know, what, 2-3 sets of parents?
Yeah.
Man alive. You'd think that they would have put their windows down so the weed wasn't so strong.
Whoa.
Going in to talk to the school.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was surprised by that. Well, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised by that, but I was surprised by that. I was just, wow.
Yeah.
He is strong.
Strong stuff. So, I don't know. I don't understand people anymore.
You know, whatever. You do what you do.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You be you, do.
I mean, I just, you know, what you do in the privacy of your own home is what you do. But you know, you're not going to catch me going out.
Not to the high school to smelling like weed.
Thinking like that.
Anyway, but it was lovely. Appreciate that the Toledo City Schools is recognizing their vets. I think that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
What else did we've done this week? We've done a lot this week.
I've been busy.
Yeah.
I Big Daddy and I put money down on a new furnace, air conditioning combo.
Holy cow. Okay. Thank God you're rich. Okay. Thank God you have jobs.
Come on, global pandemic.
I know.
That's the only reason I can afford to buy a new furnace and air conditioner.
Yeah, they were passing out all kind of money then, weren't they?
Well, not even that. It's just that because we didn't do anything, we didn't go anywhere.
Right.
Like, our takeout was severely limited. Like, we saved a ton of money.
Right?
Like, who knew that just staying home was so cheap?
What? Yeah, go figure. Yeah, when you need it, you need it. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, praise God, we could afford it. You could afford it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the air conditioning wasn't going to come back on.
No.
That was a kaput.
No. I could not live without air conditioning.
I will not.
No. I have that rule. The heat cannot come on in the house before October. But the air conditioning can be turned on at any time.
Right. Right.
There is no limit on it. You know, and it has not been cool here. In crazy Ohio, I mean, we've had 70 and 80 degree days already this month.
And
although it did get a little cool yesterday and the day before.
And I'm going to tell you that a lady at work told me to go look at the weather. And I'm looking at the weather. Where do you go to get the...
Pardon me.
Where do you go? That's the hourly.
Monthly.
Monthly. Here it is. Monthly. Shut up and go away from me. This says that... Shut up and go away from me. November. That's all 40s. December. Well, this is different. The other day at work, we were looking at it, and it said that the first week of December was in the 80s. Now it says 40s, 50s, 30s. A little bit of snow in the early beginnings of December. But yeah, I don't know what the hell we were looking at, but it was wild. And I said, if it's 80 degrees... you know, the 4th of December, we just need to just die.
Yeah. I mean, good heavens. Those people that say there is no such thing as global warming, what are you saying now?
Yeah.
This is November. And yeah, next weekend, next like Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we're supposed to have snow flurries with our rain, but I'm thinking it won't be snow flurries. It's just going to be hard rain.
Probably.
You know, I don't think that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this says it's 56 degrees right now, which I believe it's about that. This is November. Coming up to Thanksgiving, we should have snow on the ground.
Absolutely. And with snow on the ground, we're waiting for that snow because we have a movie on deck that we need snow for. God damn it.
I know. I cleaned my garage out getting it ready for the snow. And I moved that axe again. So that axe keeps moving, but it's not going into the movie box for the show.
Right. So at some point when snow is on the ground, we're going to watch The Shining.
Yes, because that was suggested to us, and we will.
Yeah, and I just bought it. It's sitting right there on the table.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, we have the axe.
We got an axe.
I got rid of the sled. I'm sorry. If I had known we'd needed it now, would have saved the little Red Racer's sled.
No, it's okay. We don't need it.
We could make a paper one.
We don't really need it.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We got an axe, though.
Yeah.
That's more important than the sled.
I'm going to figure out how to rig a cigarette with, 90% ash, like Wendy Torrance's. I'll show you a picture. The only thing more tense in that movie is wondering why her ash has not fallen off her cigarette. Her cigarette is this long. The ash is this long. And she's moving her hands around, and that ash is not going nowhere. It's right there.
Oh, my God. It's not like just sitting. I'd say sit it in an ashtray and burn it. But
no.
No?
It's attached to the cigarette. It's wild.
Oh, my God. Oh, did you look at the cover? Do we need to paint the handle of the axe?
Oh, we can look at that when we're
done. Yeah, we'll have to.
I'm kind of landlocked here.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We're both trapped in our own little zones.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll check that.
Yeah.
Because the axe is just a wet, regular wooden handled axe.
Yeah.
And she feels that it should be red.
Maybe not the handle, but maybe the axe, the axe head itself.
Ooh, golly, we'd have to clean it. It's got all that mud on it.
Well, yeah.
Okay, we can do that. We can do that.
But yeah. The Shining at some point. We haven't talked about a next movie. I have no idea what we're going to do next.
No. Let's see. We're getting into December.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like craziness, but yeah, boom. This year has gone fast.
It really has. So we'll find something to watch. We always do.
Yeah.
And I'll try to let you know less than a day. Or more than a day in advance.
But that's our MO. Why would we want to do anything else?
I've been thinking about this since Tuesday, and I finally sat down yesterday and posted it. I was just like, I need to do this. I've been thinking about doing it since Tuesday.
Pardon me again. Yep. Yep. Yeah, we do. You know, we love doing this, but we're just really not good at doing this, apparently.
Yeah.
It's okay. It always comes out okay.
Yeah.
When I listen, I think it sounds reasonable. Sounds like two reasonable human beings are talking about stuff. So until they get to the politics stuff.
Well, everything sucks there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's just not even go there.
No.
No.
It is what it is. It will be what it will be.
Well, we could watch The Gremlins, but it's not Gremlins 2 is listed as a cult classic, but Gremlins 1 is not.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we've seen that before. I mean, that's not unusual that a second movie would be.
But that the first one happens over Christmas.
That is correct. I do remember that.
Yeah, so you want to watch that?
Okay.
Okay.
I'll bet you if we look on a different list that movie will be on it.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
We don't want to stray from our genre.
Well, I mean, you know.
We can.
Unless you want to watch, Christmas horror.
No.
Which I don't really care about.
We've done some horror recently, so we can move. That's why we did The Big Lebowski, just a 180 turn from our horror movies.
Yeah, we finished up our public domain horror. I think we had a little bit of fun with that.
Yes, I think so. How interesting is that stuff that something someone has worked so hard to do can
just be free.
Be free.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, most of those people are dead, so.
Yeah.
So is it free? Yeah, heck yeah, why not? Craziness.
Yeah.
We're pathetic, I admit it.
That's all right.
Yeah. What else? What else is going on?
Nothing.
Me either. It's going to be a short day?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm all right with that. I'm ready for a nap.
Yeah.
I had a big full tummy full and...
I'm ready for a cookie.
I got some cookies to look forward to.
Yeah.
Life is good.
All right, everybody. We will see you with something in a couple weeks.
Will do.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.